Blog Talk Radio.
Doesn't have the experience. He doesn't know how to
properly manage a business and manage people. Chip Kelly was wrong on this lady. This lady had been with the Eagles since 1985. She was hired by then former head coach Marion Campbell, and she worked for 7 head coaches over 30 years. This woman spent 30 years of her life. And let me tell you something, as an executive assistant of a head football coach, whether in college or pro, specifically in pro, you do not work 9 to 5 this type of level. That is not the job. So what happened was Doug Peterson was an assistant coach under Andy Reid, and Doug Peterson used to always have her type the game plan for the upcoming game. And she would always ask Doug, hey, you know, I like that flea flicker play. Did you put it in the game plan this week? And he would, you know, well, no, not, we put it in, but we didn't call. Well, finally, in the Super Bowl, she texted him the day before the Super Bowl. She said, what about flea flicker? And he said, it's in the game plan. I just need to call it. He did call it. The play made history. Nick Foles threw it to Torrey Smith for a 41-yard game. And the Eagles went on to win the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying that's why they won it, but obviously the Eagles remember her, recognize her. They also gave rings to a longtime sales guy in the organization, their longtime video guy in the organization. And here's the beauty of it. A former Eagle, Spagnuolo, you guys might remember him, he played tight end, hired her at a finance company that he's working at, and now she works a 9-to-5 job. She's been there for the last 2 years. So Thursday night, the Eagles presented their ring. The owner, and this is classic, the owner presented each person with their ring, one by one. These rings have 219 diamonds and 17 sapphires. And Jeffrey Lurie passed up each one. And then what made it even more special was Meek Mill, the rapper, who's been in a Philadelphia jail forever for no reason. He finally got out. He kind of gave a theme song. He rapped his theme song that they played out at the Lincoln Financial Field. Carol missed that. Carol left right before Meek went up to do his performance. You know why she missed it? Because she had to be to work the next day by 9 o'clock. Man, if that's not a great story right there, I don't know what is. I don't like the Eagles. I don't like the Giants. I don't like the Cowboys. But that's a great story, just to put a bow on it. When she got home, she couldn't sleep because she looked at her ring all night long. It doesn't get much better than that. So that's a pay attention topic right there. But I got another. And this one is not so happy. It's a very sad, sad story. Kellen Winslow II. He's in jail without bail. That's right. He pleaded not guilty. And listen to these charges. Kidnapping. Rape. Breaking and entering. I mean, this guy could face life in prison. So his hearing date is set for, it's a sentencing date, or court date, I'm sorry. It's set for June 25th. And allegedly, he raped 2 women who are in their 50s. Now, no woman should be raped, no. But what is he doing raping 2, not 1, 2, and this is allegedly 50-year-olds? It's sad. He broke into a house of a 71-year-old woman and an 86-year-old woman. That's when he got caught. This crime spree, he actually got caught breaking into the 86-year-old's house. He got caught for that. This is such a sad story. And again, all these charges are alleged. But I can tell you that his dad's a Hall of Famer, Kellen Winslow. And Kellen was at court. He didn't speak. But Kellen Winslow, the second wife, and basically, you know, she said that, you know, they stand in support of Winslow II. This guy had a game. He went to the U. He was an All-America. He played from 2004 to 2013 in the NFL, drafted by the Browns, went on to Tampa, then played for the Jets. So, New York fan, you know who he is. This guy finished his career with 469 catches for 25 touchdowns. He was one of the highest paid tight ends in the league. But here's how athletes kind of it snowballs for this. The league does mandatory drug testing. He knows that. he failed. He failed the drug test. Then he got locked up for lewd behavior and drug charges. Now, they actually dropped those charges, and he still couldn't get himself together. This guy was drafted number 6 overall by the Cleveland Browns. So, Cleveland fan, I see a couple of you out there listening. Cleveland fan, this isn't your fault. I mean, he's a bad guy. He's a bad guy. Defense or truth, he's a bad guy. They drafted him 6. He broke his leg in rookie year. He didn't even play. And then he followed that up with a knee injury riding a motorcycle. Come on, man. What a difference it is in a generation. The father is a Hall of Famer who arguably had the single greatest game, which was the San Diego Chargers, Miami Dolphins game, of one player in NFL history. And the son possibly has spent life in prison. Does this sound like eerily like Aaron Hernandez? I hope it doesn't end the way Aaron Hernandez's story. Next, pay attention topic. This is actually kind of fun. So the San Diego Padres manager, Andy Green, he already called last night. I mean, he absolutely went berserk. Go online. You can see it when he runs out of the dugout and lights into the umpire, Joe West. I mean, he lit into him. So much so he threw his hat. Now, when he threw the hat, it looked like he was throwing it at the umpire. So, of course, the umpire says, okay, you're out of here. So the umpire tosses it. Well, that made him even more angry that he got thrown out of the game. So he came at the umpire again. This time, though, he gets right up in the umpire's face, and the umpire has a gift ball. The umpire picked up his hat and gave it back to him. Now, I can tell you, I've been watching pro sports, college sports, high school sports all my life. I've even thrown a hat. I've never seen the umpire or the referee bend over, pick it up, and give it back to that coach or that manager. And that's what happened last night. Well, needless to say, that infuriated him even more. And so the Major League Baseball had mics down on the field. And you can hear Andy Green, the manager, on his way to the locker room saying, don't worry, Joe. I'm leaving so you can call another bad call. Interesting, very interesting. So, hey, those are our great pay attention topics, but this is our main pay attention topic. Lamar Jackson. This story is great. Lamar Jackson is being compared to Michael Vick. Lamar Jackson won the Heisman Trophy as a sophomore, led Louisville to bowl games, but people still felt like he was going to be a wide receiver in the NFL. I didn't feel like he was a wide receiver, but I didn't think he was an NFL starter right now today. But here's the real irony and the real story behind this Ravens and how hot this Ravens is going to fly. RG3 sent a tweet to Lamar Jackson on draft day, welcoming him to the team. Now, RG3 is trying to be a backup to Joe Flacco. So the way it should work, Flacco is a starter. He's the fourth highest paid quarterback in the league, and he has been for the last 4 years. RG3 is a veteran, was a star, now not a star, drafted high, out of the league. He's seen it all. And then, of course, you've got Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson and RG3 exchange phone numbers, and they talk every day out of the Ravens facility. But what's really interesting is RG3 just trying to make the team. He's just trying to make the team. He's actually staying in a hotel in Baltimore. He doesn't even want to invest in buying a house because he may not make the team. But what he has done is he has basically sewed in, just like a father. In this case, maybe an older brother. Lamar Jackson trusts RG3, and it's working. It's working because they're together on the field competing for basically the same job. But RG3 is doing it in a way that, you know what, it's your time. And RG3 is being unselfish. And that's the point I want to bring home, everybody. You know, I think as a dad, I know that's always the way I wanted to be a dad. But it's really not about me. It's not. whatever money I make, whatever time I spend, it's really, really not about me. And those dads that can do that are, to me, the best dads. And that's what RG3 is doing for this kid. RG3 is only, what, 28 years old? This kid's 21. So they can be brothers. But RG3 is taking him on in a fatherly way on the field. Because, you see, RG3, he had mentors. He had Doug Williams. He had Randall Cunningham. He had Warren Moon. But they weren't on the field with him in battle. They weren't, you know, in competition. And RG3 clearly sends a message to Lamar Jackson. Stick to what you know and who you are. And I think that that's a great message. And some people don't like that about RG3. But it's true. And he tells Lamar about it is different being black and being a quarterback in the NFL. But it's not a burden. And actually, the way RG3 says is, hey, if you have all these skills, you're a quarterback, but yet you run like a receiver, you run like a running back, then you should be even greater than maybe the traditional drop-back quarterback, your Tom Brady of the world, your Drew Brees of the world, who don't have those skills. Tom Brady can't run around. He has to sit in that pocket and throw. So I think this is a great, great story, and one that, you know, not only should we pay attention to now, but we should continue to pay attention to. Because this is the way I see this falling out. I think this shakes out this way. I think that if Joe Flacco struggles, let's say through the first four games, let's say they're 0-4, I think Robert gets a shot. And if Robert's shot is just okay, I think Lamar gets a shot. And if they're out of the playoffs and the season's halfway over, Lamar's going to finish out the season, and he's going to be the future of the franchise, the face of the franchise. Now, it could work the other way if Flacco could start out 4-0, 3-1, even 2-2, and he'll remain the quarterback because they pay him significantly more than they pay Lamar Jackson. So I think this is a very interesting story and something that everyone should pay attention to. RG3, once again, but this time a more mature RG. He's learned from his mistakes, so it appears. And maybe, just maybe, RG3 is the one that's ultimately rewarded. Because when they call him for his shot, maybe he's the starting quarterback. And maybe he never relinquishes that. It's a very interesting story. On top of it, you've got John Harbaugh, who's, you know, basically in a contract year. And if he doesn't win, I think the Ravens will play him. I've said that numerous times on the show. And John's a personal friend of mine. But I can tell you right now, business is business, and John has got to win this season. He's got to win this. I think he's got to win the division. He's got to get a home playoff game, win that. And he's got to be a game away from the Super Bowl in order for them to keep him. So it's going to be really interesting story. Hey, look, that's our pay attention topic for this week. Really good one. That Eagles story was really good. That Kellen Winslow was really sad. And the San Diego Padres was really fun. But that RG3, that's one that's really interesting and the one I want to pay attention to. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, Super Referee Greg Muckle will talk about LeBron. And where is LeBron going? Is he going to stay in Cleveland? Is he going to go to L.A.? I hope not. I really hope not. Or is he going to go to Philadelphia? We don't know. We don't know where LeBron's going. We don't know what he's doing. But we're going to talk a little bit of that as soon as we get back. Chuck Brown, another great dad. It's funny. Chuck Brown's kids are now playing all over D.C., playing his music, and they're called the Chuck Brown Experience. Chuck Brown Experience. It's really cool if you get a chance to go out and see him. You should. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show.
Got to get.
We need money, money, money. There's no doubt about that. We do need money. And speaking of money, maybe Super Referee Craig Muckle is making some money because he hasn't joined us yet. So we're sure that he'll be here very shortly. That's the one thing I like about podcasting and live radio is, you know, things don't always go as they're supposed to. But I think it's the coach in me. I'm so used to coaching in games, and you call a play that worked all week in practice, but you forgot that the opponent is going to make sure that it doesn't work during the game, right? And so one thing about podcasting and being on this brand of radio, which is internet radio, when things go wrong, you just roll with it. You just roll with the punches. There is no, you know, CBS Sports or ESPN or anything kind of to help you or stand over your shoulder. It is what it is. And so you roll on, you roll with the punches. And so that's exactly what we're going to do. So in our second segment, we're going to go with our second segment until Super Referee Craig Muckle comes on. We're going to talk about D.C. sports locally and just kind of every couple of shows we do like a whip around where we take the four major sports teams and just kind of see where we are, what they're doing, that sort of thing. So let's start with, of course, the Washington Capitals, who are the king of kings right now and the lord of lords. They had the parade this week. And I got to tell you, I was really impressed with D.C. First of all, they're talking about 600,000 people out on the National Mall in a sea of red for the Caps. So that was pretty cool. I mean, that was to see that. And here was the thing, no arrest, no scuffles of any kind, no big delays transportation-wise. I mean, the weather was pleasant. I think it was 73 and sunny that day. No weather issues, not a cloud in the sky, unlike next week where it's going to be 110 here. So it was really cool. Now they're taking the cup on the road. And they're hitting some fire stations, police departments, schools, a couple places that have been big supporters of the hockey team, the Washington Capitals. It's pretty cool. It's really, really good stuff. So, you know, now they've already started work with the coach, Barry Trotz, to see, you know, what's going on with him and will he be able to be re-signed? I'm sure they will re-sign him, but it's going to be a lot of money to pay Barry Trotz. So you know, good deal for the Cats. I mean, I was out at Nats Park Saturday, went to the Go Giants game, and Ovechkin had the cup out there, just watching people follow him around. And, of course, they had a few beers, no doubt about that. But it was all in fun. It was good, clean fun. And then they went on down to Georgetown, Cafe Milano, with the cup and danced in the pool outside. And that's ran into Ivanka Trump. I mean, that's so D.C. And it's just real, real cool. So kudos to the Caps. Hopefully their winning ways rub off on everybody else. The Wiz Kid. This is exactly what I wanted to talk to Super Referee Craig Muckle about, was the Wizards and LeBron. So Mike Wilbon of ESPN and formerly of the Washington Post wrote a really good article on ESPN the magazine about the possibility of LeBron James coming to the Washington Wizards and why it makes sense. And quite honestly, it made sense, but it had nothing to do with basketball. For those of you that don't watch closely, LeBron James is slowly turning into an activist. LeBron James uses basketball as a platform to talk about things that are really, really important, like our government. And what better city to do that from than the nation's capital, Washington, D.C.? Now, on top of that, he would inherit a team that already has some talent, especially in the starting lineup. You look at John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Otto Porter. And it's funny because as I start talking basketball, it's almost like clockwork. It's funny how that works. Referee Craig Muckle comes right on time. I got his music going there. I'm gonna talk over his music. Nah, you that don't know the lyrics to his music, it's two words: you suck. And the fact that he's 9 minutes late. Now I'm gonna keep his mic off so he can't reply. The fact that he's 9 minutes late is ideal time for us to just go ahead and rub it in a little bit and just play. No, we won't do that. We won't do that to him. Super referee Craig Muckle.
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning. Yeah, I'm here. And you know I'm here, and it's funny that you would kind of give me the business when I'm late, because I'm like, if, of all the days that music is probably appropriate, today would be the day.
It's all good, man. I think our listeners enjoy listening to me talk about, you know, live radio. This is the way it works. And it's funny, your timing was impeccable, because on the second half of the show, I'm going to be talking local sports, and I was talking about the Wizards, and bam, there you are. So let's jump right into it, because we got a good 15 minutes ready. LeBron beat. So LeBron can go, I think the cast of characters are L.A., stay at home in Cleveland, I've heard Philadelphia, and then Wilbon puts out something about the Wizards even. Where is LeBron specific going to go?
Well, you know, it's funny because I knew you were going to ask me this question, and I said the answer is going to be, if I knew the answer, I probably wouldn't be talking to you today, because I'd be doing something where I can make a lot of money. So, because that is the, you know, what, $220 million question, shall we say, or, you know, whatever his contract would be worth. But so in all honesty, I don't know the answer to that, but I think, you know, some of the places you've identified, you know, like we'll talk to L.A. I mean, obviously, you know, the Lakers are an improving team. He's got a house in L.A., has had a house for a number of years. That's, and obviously the Clippers are there also. And the possibilities are, some of the conversations that, you know, I'm aware of, people are thinking, well, Chris Paul can leave the Rockets if he wants to and go back to L.A., whether it's the Clippers or the Lakers. Obviously, the Lakers have a young core of players with an up-and-coming coach, Luke Walton. So that's an opportunity. I even heard, which I thought this was very interesting, and I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, if Kawhi Leonard were to re-sign and stay in San Antonio, is San Antonio an opportunity with Greg Popovich, who I know that LeBron has a lot of respect for? You know,
Let me stop you right there, because you brought up all kinds of great points. So on the Laker deal, I heard someone say, an NBA aficionado say, that this current Lakers squad, although in record it may not look like it, but it's actually better than the Cleveland squad that LeBron would be leaving. So in other words, put LeBron on the Lakers, and they would have gone to the championship this year as well. I don't agree with that, but here's what I want to know from you. Like, why would he do that? They're, to me, so bad that they would need, like, Durant and Paul and George to even turn that thing around. Isn't that too much work for him at this age to want to – doesn't he need some pieces put in already there?
So, and I first of all, I agree with your premise. I don't think they would have made the finals either. I think that's just going a little too far. But I will say this. I think LeBron would be, if he were to be placed on the Lakers, he would obviously garner the immediate respect of the young folks around him. I do agree as well that they probably need a couple of other veteran pieces. And I'll say, how about a Chris Paul, for an example, who's already been to L.A., as a potential example of maybe that other key piece that really would be, you know, a cementing factor in any success. But I will say this. I mean, we can, I think, argue probably pretty fairly that the Lakers, as currently constituted, adding LeBron to that, probably would have been a better team than Cleveland in terms of how well the parts fit together. I'm not sure the record would have necessarily manifested itself maybe as well as Cleveland's did, but I do think over time, and certainly in a couple of years' time, that they adding LeBron, they would definitely be a significant force to be reckoned with. So 2 years down the road, I definitely think that's a playoff team or a championship contender.
Well, let me ask you about Houston, because you've got Paul already there and you've got the beard there. But I don't know if he fits, because now you're talking about 3-point guard. I just don't know if that works out. I mean, I know D'Antoni's been known to be very creative in his offense, this, that, the other, although he wasn't when he was with the Knicks. But what – I mean, I just don't see that one. To me, that one makes the most sense if he wants to win a championship next year. But I don't know.
Yeah. Here's why I'm going to fully acknowledge I'm a Houston detractor. And it's not so much because of the players, although I'm not necessarily sold on all the pieces. But here's my thing, and this actually goes to what I believe to be a bigger problem in basketball in general. And I know where this will end up going with you. But let me just say this. Houston focuses so much on the analytics, where their strategy is to beat you with either the three-point shot or by hitting layups. And I think we have seen in the playoffs that formula does not work, simply because defensively you can lock down a team well enough that if they can't shoot the necessary percentage to basically outshoot you from three versus what you'll do combined from two and three, that they'll win the game. That's just too much to ask in a highly pressurized situation like the playoffs. And I think because of the analytics of the game, there's been too much emphasis put on the three-pointer to the point that it's a detriment to the game. That's why I think Houston will never win as currently constituted. And you know,
and
they have great
I'm
players.
Agreeing with that.
You know, they have great players.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, they have great players. But how can you drive to the basket, have a wide open drive to the basket, and kick it out for a 30% shot on average? Okay. You're taking a 90% shot off the table so you can take a shot from 25 more feet away. And, oh, by the way, reduce your percentage by 60%. Really? That's not sensible. And that is, in my mind, that is ruining the game. And it's ruining the game at the professional level, but more importantly, it's ruining the game at the collegiate level, and more importantly, at the high school level and below. Because now you see kids wanting to shoot three-pointers all the time, and the mid-range game is going away. Kids miss layups, and the foul shooting is horrific. And I know that's not what you brought me on to talk about, but that's why I don't think Houston's going to win. Too much reliance, over-reliance on the three-pointer. Analytics don't work in the playoffs, in my view.
I agree with that so much that I don't even need to comment on it. I could have written that as well as you just said it. So, that's good stuff. You're listening to the X Points Radio Show. Super referee Craig Muckle is on the air with us. Quick score update. Little Iceland still tied 1-1 with about 15 minutes left, World Cup. Who cares? Anyway, next topic.
That's funny.
The 76ers, with all these kids, Ben Simmons and Omejiji or whatever his name is, all these guys, they got a really young team. Do you want Grandpa coming in and running the team? I just think that messes things up. But then with Colangelo – kind of saying, well, they really aren't that good, and I don't know about them, and blah, blah, blah. I don't think Philadelphia is the right fit either, nor do I want him to play anywhere near the Wizards other than for the Wizards. So what do you think of Philadelphia?
I'm going to disagree with you. Put LeBron on that team. That team, to me, automatically becomes the elite team in the Eastern Conference. And I'll tell you who can benefit the most from LeBron's presence. It's actually Ben Simmons, the guy who actually needs his presence the most, largely because I think LeBron was not I mean, look, Ben Simmons is not the best shooter in the world. That's readily acknowledged. But I think LeBron is a better shooter now than when he came into the league 15 years ago. And I think LeBron is the kind of guy who can would pull Ben aside that Ben would also listen to and say, if you did this to your game, you can be this kind of player, and I can help you get there because this is what I, you know, this is how I accomplished it. And so I think Ben Simmons, who is a critical element to the Sixers with his ball handling and his size and everything like that, if we got him to, if the Sixers got him to be a competent, reliable shooter, then I think that elevates them even more. They finished in what was it, fourth or fifth? I think it was fourth or fifth position, if I'm not mistaken, in the standings this year. They could, they still have a place to go.
Well, the reason why I'm gonna rebut that is this. And again, now this is a millennial. This is a millennial's millennial team. This Philadelphia 76ers team. It's one thing to be young and bad, which is what the Lakers are. So I could see the Lakers kind of watching LeBron score 50, 60 points, trying to beat Kobe's 81, blah, 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 and kind of be okay with that. But when you're young and good, I think that's some trouble spots there. In other words,
well,
the way he looks at J.R. Smith and those, if he looks at MD that way, it's going to be in the paper the next day. If he, I think there's a clash in generation there that's going to be a problem.
Well, I'm going to say this to you also. Let's put it this way. If on sheer alone, if you put LeBron on that team, who are you going to decide to defend? I mean, right now, Embiid is almost unguardable anyway, okay? And he's a terror at the
sure.
defensive end. We've already talked about that. So now you're going to basically put LeBron on the team, who is virtually unguardable right now. Then you're going to leave Joel Embiid to roam free on single coverage. Or if J.J. Redick continues to stay, you're going to leave him wide open to kill you from three, really? And then Ben Simmons is going to distribute the ball. What are you going to decide to do? How are you going to decide to kill yourself? I mean, they, in my view, they become virtually unguardable. That's why I think they would succeed. And look, I don't necessarily disagree totally with you that there could be problems. But, you know, we're talking about LeBron James. We're not talking about Michael Jordan. So at least they've seen LeBron play. And I would say this is a Michael Jordan at the end of his career. That's one thing. This is LeBron James. They grew up watching LeBron. This is the guy who was our Michael Jordan.
And they saw him last week. Right. And they saw him just last week score 51 points. So I get it. So now let's go to the Wilbon article. Where Wilbon says basically, hey, the Wizards, they got John Wall, they got Bradley Beal, they got Otto Porter, which, by the way, I don't know how they would afford LeBron with all that salary. But nonetheless, but Wilbon went on to say it's because he's an activist. And he could stand right next to our president or down the street a couple metro stops away and kind of use the NBA as a platform in the world's most powerful city. Sorry, New York listener, I know y'all are out there, but we are. What do you do about – is there any chance that LeBron James even thinks about coming to the Wizards? I mean, Cavs just won. Maybe Leonsis puts in a call and says, hey, you keep the cup at your house. I don't know. What's the deal on the Wizards
think,
and LeBron?
With putting aside the great social activism point, I think LeBron would relish that opportunity. I don't think he needs to be here to do it. So I'll say this. To me, going to the Wizards as currently constituted is maybe one or two steps from what he would be leaving in Cleveland. There's just not enough infrastructure there on, you know, in terms of talent on the floor. And look, I think Bradley Beal and John Wall collectively are better than any two players that Cleveland currently has outside of LeBron James. So I'm not debating that. I debate, though, whether beyond Beal and Wall and even Otto Porter, is there enough for the Wizards with LeBron to do damage? I'm going to say no. I like the Celtics. And let's remember, the Celtics had to play without Gordon Hayward all season and Kyrie Irving for parts of the season. So I would say if Kyrie and Gordon Hayward are essentially negating Wall and Beal, I'll take the rest of the Celtics over the rest of the Wizards any day of the week.
Wow. Listen to Super Referee Craig Muck on X Points Radio Show. So now, you know, it's funny how the NBA works, where free agency, the one guy is kind of the crown jewel, and then everyone else will fall in place. That's kind of, in football,
yeah,
it's a draft. And so whoever's drafted number one, everyone else kind of falls in place. Who are the everyone else's in this free agency period of the NBA? Who are the hot, like, once LeBron decides, you know, who else is out there that teams should be like, you know, well, we know we aren't getting LeBron, but let's get the next best guy or the third best guy. Who are these people?
Well, I would say, and you know, it looks like KD is going to remain in Golden State. So, assuming that the status quo remains on the East Bay, then I would say you still got, you know, I think Chris Paul is an opportunity. Whether he wants to stay in Houston or not, we'll see. I think Paul George is an opportunity, certainly. And I think the little experiment in Oklahoma City didn't work. And I'm not sure Paul George was actually the problem. I wasn't sure whether I didn't think the Carmelo addition was, you know, was going to be the best fit. And I think it sort of bore itself out. But I do think Paul George in the right, with the right other pieces, is a great fit. I, you know, to be honest with you, the Wizards could actually use a guy like him, because he's got that consistent outside game. He hits the boards, and you know, he's a little bigger body. And I just think, you know, he's certainly a better version of Otto Porter, frankly. And I think, you know, bringing Paul George on might actually help the Wizards, because you doesn't have to start Otto. I think Otto Porter would be a tremendous asset to the Wizards coming off the bench. I still think the Wizards need a better, you know, more of an inside presence, but I think Paul George would certainly be a step up from what the Wizards currently have. Let me say, I wasn't quite ready for this, for that question, but I would say certainly.
I think you nailed them. I mean, I think you've got at least, you know, you've rattled off five names of guys that, you know, I forgot about Paul George being out there. And again, I'm just thinking about affordability wise. Lakers could afford LeBron and Paul George. So maybe that, if they could work a deal with Chris Paul, maybe that turns that ship around.
Yeah. But let me say one more thing. And this guy, I don't think he's going to be available for a couple of years yet. But keep an eye on Donovan Mitchell, who came to the national forefront during the NBA All-Star Weekend. But that guy is nice, and he led Utah to some success. Ultimately, they lost to Houston, I think it was, in the playoffs. But Donovan Mitchell is a player, a really nice player, and I don't know if he'll stay in Utah or not.
Well, he did some spots on ESPN this week, and he did a really good job. I had not heard of him before, but looking at his highlights, I pulled up his stats and everything. I think if he played somewhere else, he'd be even bigger fish. You know, if he did play in an L.A. or something like that, he would be a big deal. But Utah, not a whole lot going on. Yeah, it's just not a whole lot. Hey, we're winding down on time, but I know you're a dad as well. Any thoughts, any reflections on Father's Day weekend? You know, are you grilling? Are you playing golf? What's going on? Any reflections on Father's Day from Super Referee Craig Muckle?
Well, I do. And first of all, happy Father's Day to you and the rest of the listeners who are dads out there. And, you know, as my kids are older now, my youngest child, our son, just turned 10 on Wednesday. And then our oldest daughter will be 17 on the 4th of July. We have a 13-year-old. And so, you know, I just look at the fact that, you know, virtually 17 years ago, I was a newbie, and now I have a daughter on the precipice of going to college. I have, you know, the other two who are doing well with what they do, you know, whether it's athletics or academics or both is certainly most important. And I'm just, you know, you want to relish the opportunities you have with them. Your daughters are obviously now out of high school and college and, you know, are fine young women. And so the bottom line here is the opportunities get to be a little fleeting when, you know, they're young and stuff like that. And you want to appreciate them. Now, my daughter went to the junior prom this year. She'll be a senior next year, as I mentioned, you know, and this time next year, we'll be getting ready for her to go to college, wherever that will be. And so she's not, you know, daddy's little girl anymore, you know.
That's right.
And, you know.
That's right.
You know, so it's just, you know, the kids to continue to have the opportunities just to share with them. And, you know, because in, you know, certainly in 5 years, she's an adult on her own. The other two will be, you know, by 13-year-old be going to college. Christopher, the young guy, will be, you know, be doing something in high school, hopefully playing high school something, basketball or, you know, baseball, or, you know, he's a bowler already, like his mom and I. So, you know, we're just thankful for the opportunity that they're healthy and that we're able to, you know, share stuff with them.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Well, hey, we always love having you in. You always nail it. You always do a good job. And, I mean, there's only one way to send you out, and that's with your music. So I'm going to go ahead and press the button, and we'll be talking to you down the road.
All right, man. Happy Father's Day again to you. Thanks for having me.
And happy Father's Day to him. So why don't we move over now? I did want to just – I was doing that quick D.C. local sports whip around. We talked about the Cavs. We talked Wizards. Let's talk Redskins for a moment because it's pretty quiet out at the park, and that's good, right? That's good because that means that they're retooling – they're getting things straight, getting it organized, getting it ready. Because they got a lot of new faces at quarterback. Alex Smith got to learn a new offense. So, you know, that is not an easy skill. He's going to be throwing to basically a new receiver. Their number one receiver is going to be Paul Richardson from Seattle. So that's going to be tough. They'll have a new running back more than likely, or they'll do it by committee. So that's a new deal. Defensively, there'll be a handful of new faces, especially at corner. Josh Norman will lock down his side, but the other side is not determined yet. So you've got the last 2 years they've drafted Alabama defensive linemen. So those guys got to get used to this 3-4 Redskin attacking style defense. So they've got some stuff to do. But they've gotten out with no controversies, no injuries, and again, the model that I set for the Caps was just kind of keep your mouth shut and just kind of manage your business, you know, take care of your business. I think that's what the Skins are doing in this offseason, taking care of their business. Now things will pick up in about a month, month and a half with training camp down in Richmond. I'm going to be there for that. So, you know, we'll see what happens then. But right now, all is quiet. Let's flip over to the Nats. So the Nationals, you know, they got the All-Star game coming to Nats Park, which is really cool. I like that. Home run derby and all. They got Bryce Harper, who's having an All-Star season, even though there was some media reports this week that he's overrated, this, that, and the other. Bryce Harper, to me, is the best baseball player in the major league. And should be signed for about $500 million, in my opinion. But we'll see if that happens. The Nats did make a move this week where the dad, Lerner, basically handed the team over to the son. You know, the dad's in his 80s, and he just said, hey, you know what, you do it. Now, the last time that happened was the Washington Redskins. Jack Kent Cook passed it down to John Kent Cook. John Kent Cook quickly sold the team to Daniel Snyder. So, if it's a learner, I don't think they're going to pay Bryce the money. I think this is going to be an ongoing story. but they do have Bryce. They also got this kid, Soto, who's 19 years old, hitting home runs opposite field out the yin-yang. So it's the pitching that I'm concerned about. Gio has struggled his last two outings. I watched Gio last night in the third inning. He's awful. I watched him last Saturday against San Francisco in the third inning. He was awful. I think before the trade deadline, they're going to have to get another starter. I know the Yankees are looking for a starting pitcher. So, you know, they're probably going to spend more money than the Nationals. And so they won't get a top-flight starter. But Gio's not it. And I'm very concerned about Gio. So, I think at the end of the day, what the Nats are doing is kind of what the Caps are doing. They're staying under the radar. They're not blowing the division away. Matter of fact, right now, I think they're a game and a half behind the Braves. So they got to win the division, I believe. But they don't necessarily have to win it by 10 games. If they won the division by 9 games, 5 games, what have you, just win the division and get into the playoffs. Once they get into the postseason, I think they can do some really, really big things. So D.C. sports right now, it's good. It's a fun time to be in D.C. The D.C. United opened up their new stadium, Audi Field, in the city. Beautiful. Haven't been there yet, but I saw the pictures. Very nice. So, you know, so we'll see what happens, D.C. sports. So let me do our two-minute warning before we get to predictions. And the two-minute warning, I'm probably going to take more than 2 minutes. Because it's Father's Day, and that's a big, big deal to me. And I'm going to relate it to sports in a minute. But just the activist and socially in me, if there was one thing that I think could cure our country of all its ills, it's fatherhood. I really, really believe that a great dad just does so many things for the child, and especially the boy. Because the boy needs affirmation. The boy needs affection, needs attention, and he needs authority. And what do I mean by that? I mean the boy needs authority to know there's always going to be someone that you're accountable to. There's always going to be someone that you have to answer to and for. So I think if the father sets that tone in the household, that you're going to respect, and this is the way, this is right from wrong, you don't get some of these senseless murders and people on their jobs, especially service jobs, that just don't care and have no respect whatsoever. You don't get that when the boy gets authority from the dad. But the boy also needs attention, right? And the male ego, science has shown, and the Bible talks about it. The male ego needs and feeds off of attention. It needs to be paid attention to, hence the pay attention topic. The male ego wants you know, it wants you to see, look, hey, look at what I'm doing, right? It wants that. It wants to be praised. It wants it, but when it doesn't get it from a father, then it starts to doubt itself, and it starts to wonder, well, can I do this job? Am I this good? This, that, and the other. So the boy needs attention, affection. What do teams do? I'm watching the Iceland play Argentina right now. The game's over. They're getting ready to go into overtime. And you've got the whole country of Iceland outside at a watch party clapping. And on the field, these guys are hugging. And that's what teams do. When you look at those great Yankee teams, when they won a World Series, Reggie Jackson hit a home run, they all ran to the mound and they hugged. Any sport, you name the sport, that's what they do. Well, the boy needs the same thing. He needs affection. When he comes off the football field after his high school game on a Friday night, he's looking for dad to give him a hug, slap him on his head, and take him to McDonald's. That's what he's looking for. And then finally, affirmation. The affirmation is the boy needs to be blessed. He needs to be blessed so that he can bless others. It is the most difficult job to protect and provide for others. And if a boy doesn't get a blessing along the way, it's going to be really, really difficult to keep up to that responsibility and that commitment of protecting and providing. So as you can see, I'm very passionate about the topic. How I bring it into sports is this. Man, some of my greatest dads were my coaches. And there's one I highlight all the time, which is Mike Godfrey. When I wrote a book, first person I call was Mike Godfrey. And he wrote on the front cover of my book, he gave me a nice testimony. I talked to Coach Godfrey this week. He's traveling to Israel. And I know he's safe. I know he's still doing good work. And all I wanted to be like Coach Godfrey, because for 4 years at the University of Pittsburgh, I was with him more hours than I was in the classroom. And I followed every move he made. And there's so many things he taught me about discipline and respect and education and winning and motivating and being organized and just being a good teammate. And so, yeah, you know, we all have our biological dad. And we all have God the Father. But along the way, there's been some coach or some mentor that's mentored into you. And that guy's changed your life and still in your life, I hope. So as a coach for me, I look at there isn't a day that goes by that some player doesn't reach out to me and say, hey, coach, I'm getting married. Hey, coach, I'm having a baby. Hey, coach, I got a new job. That is worth every minute of every practice that I've ever had. So not only do I coach my own two girls, Kennedy and Fallon, and it's important I coach other boys so that they got some options. Because if he comes with his pants dragging down and this and that, I can't help. So Father's Day means a ton to me. And my girls are older now, so I'm literally going to have to chase them down tomorrow to get some time with them, but we're going to get some time. But happy Father's Day to all those guys out there that are fathers and are doing the right thing and taking care and that are protecting and providing. Good for them. That's the two-minute warning for today. Predictions don't have a lot. I got one. First of all, we were 2-1 last week, 44-33 overall. I got Dustin Johnson winning the U.S. Open in golf. No one's going to catch him. He's up -4 on, I think he's up 4 strokes on the field. He wins it, going away, hands down, no problem. He does it. Let me give the website, Extra Points, www.extrapointsllc.com. And at Twitter, at ExtraPointsLLC. Hey, another great show. Thanks to Super Referee Craig Muckle. And as always, the Extra Point is up, and it is